Welcome to the first episode of the Dangerous Rational Response. I am Brian Sapien. I'm one of the hosts of the Rational Response Squad.
And I'm Stax Rosh. I'm the host of Dangerous Talk.
You will be in for a little treat today. This is a fusion of our two shows, which broadcast on freethoughtmedia.com every Friday night after The Infidel Guy. My show is available at www.rationalresponders.com, and you can check Stax out at
dangeroustalk.net.
So we went together today to see the movie Jesus Camp. What'd you think, Stax?
Wow, I was blown away. Well, first off, when I got a MySpace ad from the Jesus Camp MySpace page. And when I first saw it, I was like, they're asking me to be a friend, and found out that they were doing a documentary about these radically fundamentalist evangelical Christians.
And of course,
I was blown away.
We were lucky enough to be sitting behind an evangelical ourselves.
Oh, yes. We actually sat in front of her first. And then we were too close, so we moved back. And as we were moving back, I saw she had a Bible with her.
Right.
And I was like, uh-oh, right away.
It was really cool. The tone of the movie, though, you know, people were laughing along with us.
Oh, yeah.
At points where, you know, she would be shaking her head, yes, agreeing with the point in the movie. You know, they would say something like, we're in a war against Satan or something like that. And, everybody just start laughing. And she would just start,
you gave me a nudge. I didn't even see that until you pointed it out.
You know, she would say amen at a certain point, and, you know.
Yeah, the best part was at the end of the movie, she, you know, said she agreed with the movie and she thought it was a good movie, but then she yelled at us.
Yeah.
for not believing.
Right, but I mean, I just, the whole idea that people in the theater were laughing, that felt good. And I think that you'll see that around the country in these showings, and that's kind of an interesting dichotomy, because you'll get people that are going to go there to see the movie because they agree with the movie, and they're basically going to hear their views being laughed at the entire time, which is hopefully in itself, you know, awakening, you know. And
but before we get into the movie itself, there is something I wanted to quickly draw attention to.
Sure.
Lately, I've been going to the independent movies a lot, because I lately found that there have been a lot of quality stuff. A couple of weeks ago, I saw the movie at the same theater chain. This movie has not yet been rated, which is about the MPAA, the people who rate movies, and how there's censorship. And then there's the U.S. versus John Lennon, which is out in these in independent theaters. There, we saw previews today for the one with the Catholic priests. What was that one? Do you remember that one?
That's a Lionsgate film. I forget what it's called. We actually have a preview for it on our site. It stars Cardinal Mahoney. And it's the story about a priest basically getting on the record with what the thoughts are of a priest as he's molesting children, you know, and the fact that he's attracted to so many children, and the fact that the church simply moved him from one parish to another to avoid having to go to law enforcement, and, you know, basically doing everything they can to cover up all of these illegal, you know, pedophilic acts, you know, and child molestation. So, I forget the name of the movie, though.
These independent movies are becoming more and more to the mainstream, and they're still harder to find, though, but they're getting a little bit more media attention because they are talking about things like censorship and free thought and rationality and things that, you know, the mainstream media now owned by Clear Channel and Rupert Murdoch don't really want to put out there as much. So we are seeing these in independent theaters, and I'm hoping that our listeners out there will try to see some of these and give some money back to these people who are working really hard to get these messages out there.
So I want to let you know out there that we're definitely not going to be able to refute this movie in whole. As I watched it, I realized pretty much every line in the movie needs a refutation. Most of the arguments for what Becky advocates were insane. But, you know, with that said, we do have some points that we want to address. So first off is the name of where the camp's at.
It was at Devil's Lake.
And the camp session is actually called Kids on Fire, right?
Right, which just sounds dangerous right there. Kids on Fire. I just picture kids running around screaming, ah! just running around.
Well, that's where they'll end up, of course, if they don't.
They think, you know, everybody burns in fire, hell.
Of course, we saw in the preview that one kid, his name was Levi in the movie. He was actually, I like Levi. Levi, you know.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot on him. He was a great speaker. He gave some sermons early along. He really had passion for what he was saying, and he came off speaking really genuinely. And he seemed to have a good heart. Now, this kid probably, in my opinion, will not be a fundamentalist Christian when he gets older.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking the exact opposite. Hell, there's no way that he's going to be able to break free. He's the one, if you saw the preview, folks, he's the one that said that he was saved at 5 because he just wanted something more out of life because it seemed so empty.
Right. That's true. But I think the thing is that he's never really been challenged on these things. And as he grows up, he seemed like a pretty with-it kid, a pretty intelligent kid. In fact, all the kids seem pretty intelligent in this movie. It's just that this is all they've been exposed to. Like, they've never really been exposed to anything else. So they're fighting Satan and evil.
Yeah, but see, they have this deep seat. I mean, that's what the core of this movie is, that they are being taught this deep seated thought process that everything that's against the Bible is like satanic or, you know, devilish. Right. So that when they finally do have the chance to hear this information, they're going to be so closed off to it. To them, it's going to be so like ingrained in them that they have to push it away, that they can't. And that's what we see in the adults that we talk to today.
Right. That's true. The thing is, they see everyone who's not Christian as a part of the them, the evil, the them. When they start interacting with these people on a more intellectual level, I don't mean like there are some atheists out there that just scream at you, and I don't mean them. But when they start talking to intelligent atheists who know what they're talking about, like you or I or some of the other rational responders, they're going to be genuinely challenged by these thoughts and ideas, and it puts a humanized face on them. It's easy to hate like the Muslims if you don't know any Muslims, or Satan, you know, who's out there somewhere, or society, which is this blanketly, you know, evil thing, the man, the system. But when you start putting a human face and start meeting these people face to face and having like a genuine conversation, I think kids like Levi and the other character, I think her name is Rachel, you know, they seem pretty smart kids, and I think they're going to kind of break out of it a little bit.
I actually wrote down the main girl's, the female youngster's name was Holly. She was the one that walked up to the girl in the bowling alley.
That was Rachel.
Yeah, her name's Holly.
Okay.
But, you know, there was that scene in the movie where Levi talked about, and I don't know how much experience he's had with non-believers, but he talks about how every time that he walks up to a non-believer or talks to a non-believer, it just feels dirty, that they have candy, but he wants the meat.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that? So, I mean, but that, I think that that's why a kid like Levi, it's interesting that you thought he will break free. That's why I don't think that somebody like that will break free, because I mean, I don't think really anybody from Jesus Camp has much of a chance from breaking free. That's
well,
the whole point.
The with Levi, when he's talking about the people with candy, I think he's talking about the partiers, the people who are having, you know,
they're doing fun rampant, things, right?
Rampant, you know, sexual behavior without, you know, any.
The way he was talking about it was that he's actually had experiences with these people. Not that he's talking about what his parents have told him about, but that he's actually had experiences.
Yeah, but those people I don't think are thoughtful people. They're the people who are partiers, and after a while, those people are probably going to get sick of partying and looking for the meat also and be drawn to this wacky Christianity. I've known a lot of those people, and that's how Christians, the fundamentalist Christians, usually try to they go after those people. Because, you know, all that partying, and then what else is there to look forward to?
Right.
So there's that aspect. But I think if Levi is confronted with some rational people who will have discourse and debate, in a friendly kind of fashion, I think he might be more open to it.
Well, you got to hope, but
yeah,
I don't know. I really think that's the point of the movie, is that pretty much anybody right. going to this camp, I mean, and that's what we'll actually get to that with how she indoctrinates them so young. Do you have anything before we get to the clips? Anything else?
Nothing striking me offhand. Go on with the first clip and then we'll go into it a little bit.
Okay. In this first clip, Becky basically calls kids hypocrites because they are basically being fake Christians. So we'll listen to this clip and then we'll comment.
I sense in my heart tonight what I heard the Lord say is that there's some kids here that say they're Christians, that go to church all the time, but you're one thing when you're at church and you're another thing when you're at school with your friends. You're a phony and a hypocrite. You do things you shouldn't do. You talk dirty just like all the other kids talk dirty. And it's time to clean up your act. Come up here and get washed. Because we can't have phonies in the army of God. If that's you, put your hands up here. Whoa, baby. Wash your hands. Father, we just wash them with the water of your word. We say, no more, devil, no more. Say it, boys and girls, in the name of Jesus. You know exactly what you need to repent of. Name it. Name it out loud. Name it. What do you need to be forgiven of?
You know, she doesn't hit in there that point that you made a joke about in the movie.
Right.
She says something after that. She says, you know, be washed in him. Or yeah, be washed in his name, she says. Yeah, be washed in his name. And
right.
she's pouring
and the bottle said Nestle on it.
Yeah, exactly. She's pouring like just a regular water bottle over them. The bottle said Nestle. Right. Stax turns to me and he goes, and his name is Nestle. You know, it's great stuff.
The thing is, they showed kids crying in total tears. He totally called them out. And of course, I mean, it's like when psychics say something. You know, everybody's one way at one point and a different way at a different point. We all have different faces. So she called them out on having different faces. I act differently with my friends than I do with my parents. Everybody does. So you act differently when you're at church than you are when you're with your buddies.
Well, I mean, you know, Ted Haggard was in the movie from the New Life Church. You know, even he's a guy, like, you can easily see when you look at him, he's got different faces. You know, like, he's got things that he regrets. Every Christian, I mean, that's the whole point. Like, they all think they're sinners. Every Christian does something wrong. You know what I mean? Does that make them all fake Christians? No, but she finds it as a way to, you know, basically indoctrinate them, brainwash them more, like, you know, bring them closer to God in this fake bullshit ceremony where she tells them that they've done something wrong and now God's washing it all away, you know? And so that's supposed to feel good or something. I mean, all these kids are coming to tears, you know, they're bawling at how bad they are, making them feel like shit, bringing their self-esteem down.
They've recommitted themselves to the cause now.
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly they think they've recommitted themselves to the cause, but, you know, put some doubt in themselves about God and you remove the God aspect and you are left with a person with low self-esteem. You know, you're left with a person who just thinks they're bad.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if one of those kids killed themselves. It reminds me of that scene from Full Metal Jacket where the drill instructor is beating down on the one heavyset guy.
Uh-huh.
The whole first half of the movie, the drill instructor who's on mail call on the History Channel is drilling this heavy guy and calling him names and all kinds of stuff. And at the end of that half of the movie, that guy ends up killing the drill instructor and then shooting himself. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me the way she drilled into those kids. You know, you got to be right with God or you're done.
Yeah.
And I know, I can see into your heart that you're hypocrites, you know, she really went after him.
It was funny, too, the way she said, like, you know, there are fake Christians in here tonight. I think she said something like, God is telling me there are fake Christians in here tonight. And she said, if you're one of those people, put your hands up here. And, like, every kid in the room was at the front.
Oh, yeah, every kid.
Yeah, every kid.
You know, I've seen this before at when I've gone to those some of the Christian groups that are on university campuses, where they'll say, you know, anyone who hasn't been saved yet, stand up. And if you've been saved tonight, sit down. And everybody in the room's looking at them. And they got that peer pressure going on. And most people, you know, are so afraid of the peer pressure. It's the first time in this atmosphere they want to make friends. Most people are amazingly saved that night right there.
Yeah, I
know. You know?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
It's worse because they're kids.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to another clip. They talk about abortion, and they try to cover abortion in the movie.
Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end abortion and send revival to America. Louder. Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end abortion.
We have no power of taking people's lives. Only God has that power.
No more, Lord. No more. No more!
Now, what we have here is three little separate segments. The first part was a gentleman that came in to speak to the kids about abortion. And then the second part was Levi talking about, you know, Satan can't take any more lives and how only God has that power, which I thought was very ironic because, you know, this whole argument about abortion and how bad people are that are aborting all these babies. God is actually the leading provider of abortions. On the planet. I recognize you. For the audience, Stax likes to call God the character of God.
Yeah, because there is no God.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a character like Voldemort from Harry Potter.
But for everybody listening,
he's not real. He's a character in a book.
I just call it God. Just indulge their fantasies for one moment. If we are to believe that this God exists, then this God is the creator of the more miscarriages, okay, and abortions and killed fetuses than anybody, than all of humanity combined. It's the cause of death as well.
100%.
Exactly. So, I mean, this whole idea, in fact, if anything, having an abortion would be very godly, you know, in that sense.
I mean, besides, everything's part of his plan anyway, whether or not, you know, a child is aborted or not, that's all part of God's plan. You know, the character of God.
So then we have finally we have the girl crying. That was actually part of the movie cover where you see the girl with the three tears coming down her face and she's, mm-hmm. you know, just screaming, no more, no more. And, you know, if God wanted no more abortions, honey, the character of God wanted no more abortions, he's got the power to do that. So.
Now, I thought it was interesting they kept putting the red tape over their lips that said life.
Yeah.
And they kept marching around Washington with that. You know, they tried to talk about abortion a little bit here and there throughout the movie. And they did have this thing also, an overriding theme throughout the movie was the thing with Judge Alito, the confirmation hearing.
I think the movie must have been filmed around that time, right?
Right, and they were right, and on the radios, they switched to different radio stations, and you hear talk about Judge Alito's confirmation trial and how that's going, and you know, and how important it is for evangelicals to come out and push for right-wing religiously conservative judges because it alters the next decade or two, possibly more, the whole generation down the line.
Right.
And now they're thinking about the future, and they're concentrating on not necessarily what's going on right now, but, you know, what's going to go on a few years ahead. And, you know, it's sad that they're thinking ahead, and the traditional Democratic Party really doesn't. But I don't want to get too much into that tangent. I want to stay on this.
Well, and again, people, we're not going to be able to refute everything that was in the movie.
Right,
there's just
so
too much
here.
We really need to do it line by line. We could probably talk for an hour on each sentence. But let's move on to the next clip. You know, right. One of the themes in the movie is that these kids are being taught to evangelize to others, to go out and talk to others. And in fact, we'll get to this point in a moment about what Becky calls a war. And of course, the way that people are perceiving that is very violent. And of course, you know, you could take it like that even after you've seen the movie, or maybe even going to the camp. Yeah, Becky claims that it's more about evangelizing against Satan and yada, yada, yada. So here we see a young girl go up to somebody who she doesn't know in the bowling alley. This is Holly. And she's just completely deluded into thinking, you know, that God is talking to her all the time. So she is going to bullshit to this girl that God told her to go up to her. And here you go. Here's a clip.
God's just telling me that you're on his mind and he just wants to take you and he just wants to love on you. And he has special plans for you in your life. And he just wants you to be able to follow him with your whole heart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
So sorry, you just felt like God told you to go over there.
Yeah, I waited a little bit, you know, to be sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah, coming to your heart.
Uh-huh, and afterwards I felt like I had picked the right one.
All right, it's a great story. Way to be obedient.
So it's hard to hear at the end there, but basically she went back over to her dad. She went over and she was very proud of what she did. And he said, way to be obedient. Which right. is kind of yeah, interesting. Great. Yeah.
Now the thing about this is, the preacher, Becky, she claims that, you know, when she talks about war, and there's a whole war theme throughout this of where the kids are in war paint and everything else. And so this means war, and she means spiritual war, and she doesn't mean violent war like the Taliban or the extreme Muslims. But and she's trying to say that to kind of diffuse it, but it really doesn't diffuse it very much, because Christianity as a whole has tried the whole killing thing before, and it didn't work. There are more atheists now than ever, and we're more outspoken. What they've done now is they're trying to enslave people's hearts and minds rather than kill them. Now the mentality is better to take away or better to kill someone's freedom, individuality, and reason than to actually kill the person. And that's all right out of the book 1984. I mean, it's right out of, you know, Big Brother's playbook.
See, and you can find that answer at kidsinministry.com, but neither of us had any idea, you know, that that would be her position until we saw it.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay. Oh, well, you've heard it before.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, I left that movie saying, wow, look at what she condones. And of course, you probably have to actually go to the camp. But, you know, she doesn't seem to be clarifying her statements when she's telling these kids. And in fact, you've got scenes in the movie where Levi and Holly are sitting with each other talking about how it would be great to be a martyr. You know, and how, you know, that sort of belief, they feel like they're being trained to be God's warriors. And so right. These are the thoughts that are coming from those kids. I mean, with their being so impressionable and not picking up all the little subtleties, when you use that terminology with the children, they take away from it something that apparently questions on Becky's website would teach the kids something different, but she doesn't seem to be, you know, espousing that viewpoint as prevalent.
Yeah, it's not as PC. Yeah, she wants, you know, them to have the same kind of passion and zeal. And the problem is that when you have that kind of passion and zeal and there's no channel, there's no outlet for it, it turns into violence, especially when you try to block off a reason and tell people that, you know, knowledge and science are all devil's work, then you have nothing else to grab onto except violence.
Well, let's clue the audience into what we're talking about here. I have a 1 minute clip of her on this issue.
If you look at the world's population, one third of that 6.7 billion people are children under the age of 15. One third. Where should we be putting our efforts? Where should we be putting our focus? I'll tell you where our enemies are putting it. They're putting it on the kids. They're going into the schools. You go into Palestine, and I can take you to some websites that will absolutely shake you to your foundations and show you photographs of where they're taking their kids to camps like we take our kids to Bible camps, and they're putting hand grenades in their hands. They're teaching them how to put on bomb belts. They're teaching them how to use rifles. They're teaching them how to use machine guns. It's no wonder, with that kind of intense training and discipling, that those young people are ready to kill themselves for the cause of Islam. I want to see young people who are as committed to the cause of Jesus Christ as the young people are to the cause of Islam. I want to see them as radically laying down their lives for the gospel as they are over in Pakistan and in Israel and Palestine and all those different places, you know, because we have, excuse me, but we have the truth.
That's got to be one of the funniest lines in the movie there too, right there.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of that's the war issue. Let me touch the last sentence, of course. You know, Becky's logic, and, you know, it's hard to really touch it in the movie because she doesn't actually ever make any arguments for God. She just presupposes that God exists, of course, in the movie.
Right.
But, you know, this is a great one. Becky's argument for faith would be the exact equivalent for every other argument of faith. Okay. You know, I mean, what are you going to say?
Our side is the truth, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, oh, well, our book says such and such. Well, you know, they have a book too, you know.
Bruce has the truth.
Yeah, you could say you have the truth, but your truth is no different than the Muslim's truth. And if you're a Christian listening in right now and going, you know, well, you're atheist and your truth is no different, you know, understand that an atheist position, and there's different positions that atheists have, some do hold. Yes, some do hold that there is no God and that is a truth. We don't hold, Stax, are you with me that you're an agnostic atheist or a weak atheist?
I waver.
Okay.
Because I can't disprove God.
Right.
But I can disprove the Christian God.
Okay, well, yeah, I am a strong atheist in that sense. I mean, I can prove the Christian God cannot possibly exist. Same thing with, right. But, you know, the whole idea of a God concept, I can't disprove. And for that, we don't claim to have the truth that there is no God. We do claim that there isn't any rational reason to believe in a God because there isn't enough evidence to believe in a God.
And there is evidence against, you know, a God too, but that's a whole big thing. But one of the things I wanted to just briefly mention with Becky Fisher and her truth and some of the things she said, at one point she had said that normal Americans or the average Americans are fat and lazy, and that's why she wants to get everybody to be passionate and go out on the, you know, train just like the Muslims are. And I think it's funny because if Becky Fisher had looked in a mirror, then she could see that she's not so thin herself.
Yeah, I mean, Becky's clearly not lazy. She's very motivated, but I don't think that really matters.
Whatever. Laughed at that part.
Yeah, that was another one of those laughing points where she's like, America is a bunch of fat, lazy people, and here's a 350-pound woman telling you. Right. So it's just like, that's great. Let's play her talking to Mike Papantonio on the radio about this issue, and we'll wrap it up.
He's an Air America host, I believe.
Exactly.
We're talking to Becky in Bismarck, North Dakota. She's a children's pastor, and she runs a summer camp for evangelical children there in North Dakota. Becky, how are you?
I'm doing very good.
Why kids? Why are they supposed to be some new army of God? Why are we using kids to do that?
Anyone who does any work with kids knows is because the reason you go for kids is because whatever they learn by the time they're 7, 8, 9 years old is pretty well there for the rest of their lives.
You know what? I got to interrupt the clip.
Good point. I just
the way that she says that, it's, you can hear, you know, the intent, you know, the reason you go for kids
is they're weak.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, they're young, they're impressionable, they're weak, they don't know any better. If you tell a kid, you know, that you got to look both ways when crossing the street, and you tell a kid that you have to eat your dinner or you'll die, you know, your kids start to trust you on day after day. They realize that they have to trust you in order to survive, that they learn from you everything there is in life. And if you teach that child at 5, 6, 7 years old things that they're not philosophically able to handle. They don't have the critical thinking skills to understand them or to refute them or to be able to figure out why they're inaccurate. They're going to just blindly trust them. And that's why you, quote, go for kids. We're not teaching kids. Becky made a Freudian slip here by saying we go for kids.
Right. Now, two quick stories. One, when I was in college, I went to a religious conference that they were having of all the different religious groups. And aside from the fact that all different religious groups were all Christian, when I went to each table, each person had asked me if I was a freshman. At each group, they asked me if I was a freshman. Now, at first, I just thought they were making conversation. But then I realized, no, the freshmen are put in a new spot. They're probably away from home for the first time. They probably don't have many friends. They're not accustomed to the atmosphere. They're weak. And they're easy prey for these religious groups to bring them in. You know, and it's typical of these, of the evangelical Christian groups to go after the weak. Second quick story was when I was having a conversation after one of these Christian group meetings with about 10 different Christians. And they were all surrounding me, asking me questions. And they were all questions I had heard before, and I had ready answers for them. And I felt bad. I felt like I was ganging up on them. And I got out of the conversation. I said, look, guys, I'm sorry. I don't want to gang up on you anymore. You guys aren't ready to have this conversation with me yet.
Yeah.
Because I would rather discourse these ideas with people who have experience, have knowledge, who have read up on these things, and can give me a run for my money as far as a conversation goes. But people who have just become born again 2 days ago aren't going to be able to have anything that I haven't heard before, and they're not going to stand a chance against me, and it's not fair. I don't feel comfortable in that kind of situation. And she's the opposite. Becky Fisher is going after the kids because they are weak. And that's why the Christians usually, when they try to convert people, they go out in pairs or large groups to gang up on one person.
You know, and Becky's argument, you know, in case anybody's out there going, well, Becky just said the reason why she's doing it is because that's where our enemies are putting our focus. And we would feel the same about our enemies.
I'll say the same thing about the Islamic fundamentalists. You know, it doesn't matter.
I mean, there are 5-year-olds in Islam that are being taught. She's right. There's 5-year-olds in Islam that are being taught to put bombs on their back when they're 18 years old. So, yeah, it's wrong. And if you teach a kid, if you teach somebody that at 18, 19, 20 years old, after a full high school education, you know, of proper, well-rounded education, they're not likely to believe that load of bullshit. You know,
and while two wrongs may make a right in Christianity, I don't think that two wrongs make a right.
If you're a Christian and you're listening right now, ask yourself, at what age did you accept, you know, God as real? How old were you? I bet that there aren't many listening in right now that were over 18 years of age when they first accepted God.
I forget what the exact number was, but it was something pretty high. It was like, I think like 40% or more than that, perhaps, of evangelicals who become born again before the age of...
Yes, before the age of 13 it was.
13,
40% of evangelicals become born again before the age of 13.
Something like 40%.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, I thought to myself, the whole notion of being born again, the idea is that you're supposed to be, you know, born again when you're like, there's a forced baptism, you know, at an early age that you have no cognition of. But later on, you're supposed to accept it on your own when you're able to understand what you're accepting. Well, you can't understand what you're accepting at 13 years old. You have not heard it all. You haven't left home, you know, to hear the other side of the argument, the points that Stax or I could point out that make the Bible bullshit. You know, you haven't heard them at 12 years old.
Now, personally, I was born once and I found it to be quite sufficient, but that's just me.
All right, let's finish this clip.
Okay.
This is statistics that you can research for yourself.
No, I know these statistics, but you use the term learn. The word learn is different than indoctrinate. God gave us a brain. God gave us the freedom to choose.
Actually, we should make it clear right now, and you had a point about this, that we never really got the non-believer perspective in this movie.
They had two sides here. They had, all right, most of the movie is Becky Fisher and her brand of evangelical Christianity. And then they tried to offset that with side two, which is the watered-down, more PC Christianity of this Air America host.
And that's
more moderate.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, it's a false dichotomy, sort of like the Lord, Liar, Lunatic thing. They're telling you what your options are. Either this way or that way. And I know they don't mean that, but that's the impression, that there are two sides to this coin, and one side is the wacky side, and the other side is the less wacky side. But they don't really get a free thought or atheistic approach here that says, no, you know, Christianity as a religion just doesn't hold any water.
Right.
And, you know, God gave us a brain, prove it.
Right. Of course.
You know, they don't really go into that at all.
Of course, I think there's a lot that Mike said that both you and I would agree with. So, in that sense, we've got to give them credit for throwing him in there. But
oh, absolutely.
Here he is.
I mean, they try to, like, think of the liberal Christians is, for the most part, they're good people. And they put their emphasis on being a good person or what the Bible says versus, I think, the more conservative Christians who put God's word in front of what they think is morally good.
Right. Okay, here we go. Let's finish this clip.
Learning is part of that choice. And I think every time the fundamentalist movement, Becky, interferes with that, we're doing harm. We're doing harm to the progression of mankind.
I don't think any child gets anything by choice. As I understood, your question to me was, do you feel it's right for the fundamentalists to indoctrinate their children with their own beliefs? I guess fundamentally, yes, I do. Because every other religion is indoctrinating their kids. Hello? I would like to see more churches indoctrinating.
You can tell a child anything. Just like I say, you can tell a child, you can make a child into a soldier that carries an AK-47.
You could call it brainwashing, but I am radical and passionate in teaching children about their responsibility as Christians.
Now here with this, with the brainwashing, I looked on her website and she had a whole thing on brainwashing. And her way of dealing with it was to say that we're all being brainwashed in some fashion or another with movies, the media, music, pop culture in general, through our schools and such. And for the most part, she makes a legitimate point, except that when at schools, we try to teach kids to think critically, think for themselves, to not necessarily accept what we teach them.
Whoa.
To go out and research on their own.
I understand what you're trying to get at, but it's funny because in my circles with my friends, we talk all the time about how schools should be teaching critical thinking more so than they are now. I mean,
absolutely, it should be.
I think the point really is that at school, you know, you're learning what history will generally accept as true, you know, what things that can be proven. We don't learn in school myth as fact, generally, unless we're talking about schools that are teaching intelligent design. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but to a huge degree, I think that's part of the problem in the world is that we don't learn critical thinking enough. I don't remember a time when I was ever told by a teacher, don't believe everything I say, go research it for yourself.
My school did teach that. But,
well, that's awesome. That's good to know that there's schools out there doing that.
I think that in the past, schools have relied a lot on these are the facts. And over the last decade or so, they've been shifting a little bit more. Now, it's not enough. They still need to go more into critical thinking. I totally agree with you there. I mean, we need to teach critical thinking much more than we are now.
Yeah.
But it's there, or they're trying to at least bring in some critical analysis, some critical thought, at least in the sense where public schools have a diversity of students. And that diversity of students brings a diversity of backgrounds.
Right.
But private schools or homeschooling has no diversity, and therefore Luke is pretty open to this kind of indoctrination. And I think there was a statistic in the movie that said about 75% of homeschoolers are evangelical Christians.
There was, and I think it was even higher than that. And
it may have been.
It's funny that I mentioned to you in the movie at the time that somebody was on our message board, and I don't know who it was. I apologize because you're probably listening to this. But somebody mentioned how they realized that, I think it's Equilibrium, that the problem with America can be solved by removing homeschooling because homeschooling is really teaching kids what, you know, one parent wants to teach them. But to some degree, I mean, I have to disagree. Like, I like the concept of homeschooling if a parent can actually do it right. But unfortunately, our government doesn't monitor it appropriately. Well, so maybe it should be removed.
My view of this is have both. For a certain time period, students have to go to public school. And then afterward, they should be required to have a couple hours.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
For private schooling to supplement.
That's a good idea. I'm really leery on that whole issue because, I mean, you know, this country is so far from the freedom that you would expect in a free nation. There's so many things that we can't do. And, you know, to think that we should be able to restrict somebody. I mean, really, what is freedom? Like, they talk about how there's Christians, the faith healing Christians, that believe that, you know, doctors can't help and that they just, you know, want to pray to God. And that, I knew a kid locally near me who died of a snake bite when he was 8 years old because his family simply prayed for him. It wasn't a snake bite or spider, it was spider bite, I'm sorry. And apparently that's illegal. You know, it's illegal for a parent to do that. But, you know, to some degree, you know, what's freedom? And I understand, like, okay, so you're restricting the child's freedom, but
it's always a fine line.
Exactly.
And that's why Christians, you know, the mainstream evangelical Christians, if that makes any sense, they have tried to redefine the word freedom. And the Republican Party, and well, Bush administration of the Republican Party has tried to redefine freedom with them. And I was first clued into this when I interviewed the Republican think tank guy, Colin Hanna, from the Let Freedom Ring Foundation. And his group, well, he's an evangelical Christian himself. And he was talking about, I asked him, you know, if the name of his organization was ironic, because it's the Freedom Ring, and, you know, these evangelicals want to take freedom away from everyone.
Right.
But he tried to redefine freedom as linking it with some sense of responsibility, but basically it was responsibility to follow orders.
I mean,
really freedom.
You know, like true freedom, you know, would allow a parent to not even send their child to public school.
Right.
You know, if you were truly free, you wouldn't have to send your kid to school at all or school them. You know, it's like, well, but, you know, then it's like, well, what are the kids? The kids are missing out. So it's kind of unfair. Yes, it's unfair, but I don't know. What's freedom?
Laws that restrict, well, George Washington said that every law is a restriction on freedom.
Yeah.
And that we have to, you know, be careful when we make laws so that we only restrict freedom as much as necessary.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, I think he is correct in that. But there are certain laws we need to have and certain freedoms that we need to restrict for the common good of society. But we have to be very careful when we do that. Because, you know, out of context, people could take this as what I'm saying is, you know, I guess Hitler-esque. but I mean, we should keep our laws and our restrictions on freedom to a very minimal position.
Agreed.
You know, that's the difference. I think linking freedom with responsibility to obey, like in that clip that we heard before, like, very good, you know, Holly, you've learned to obey.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That kind of thing. That's
like a weird point to even bring up. Like, I don't remember ever as a father telling my child, like, good job being obedient.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that. Obedient?
That is not,
I don't want my child to be like obedient.
Children. You know, when kids are a certain age and they can't understand certain concepts, then you hope that they just obey that you have their best interest in mind. But after they reach a certain age, you want them to know why you're giving them the orders.
Right.
You know, why you tell them don't walk out in the middle of the highway.
Right. You
you want them to be able to understand those concepts and think for themselves a little bit.
You know, on the homeschooling note, do you remember when we saw the homeschooling clip? Was when I think it was Levi being homeschooled, and she was talking about global warming.
He was actually watching that clip. It was a TV show with a fake dinosaur talking about the Earth being 6,000 years old.
Right, and how we didn't come from protoplasm. Ew! And it was like
I could be wrong, but I think that might be Kirk Cameron in the dinosaur suit. No, I'm kidding.
And then after that, it was the mother, and she was like, you know, some people say, and of course this is a homeschooling class, she's like, some people say that, you know, there's a global warming crisis in our world. And, you know, how do we know that that's wrong?
Right. And he said the temperature has only risen 0.06 in the last year.
Right.
Well, let's see. Let's do the math here. If we raise it 0.06 every year, and we calculate that by how many years in a typical lifespan of a typical person, 80 years. Wow, we're talking about a lot of degrees there, huh?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he hasn't had math class yet.
But, you know, but then that's juxtaposed against the next line where the mother's saying, and if I can homeschool my child better than the school can school him, then why wouldn't I have him at home? And that was another point of laughter in the theater when, of course, we saw that clearly she can't school her child better at home.
Right. It's like you have one person who is not trained in any field and has no experience teaching versus a team of teachers, usually I'd say 6 to 8 teachers per year a student will have in high school.
Right.
Who are all experts in one particular field teaching their particular skill.
Yeah.
Gee, who do you think is going to have the better education?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you really need a college education to figure that one out.
So, Stax, are you shaking in your boots from this movie? Because I have one last clip.
Actually, that's an interesting thing. I was looking on the Jesus Camp website, and they have reviews. And one of the reviews that they had was this one. And it starts out saying that the guy who's doing the reviewing, Devin, he said that when he walked out of the movie, he felt a little dirty. He thought that the editors of the movie did a hatchet job on these people, that they really took advantage of their trust and all these things. And then he, later in the interview, he said, then he found out that Becky Fisher and all the kids all approved and endorsed this movie and think it was a good representation of their view. And then he realized it was a horror movie. And I remember we made some comments after the movie with an elderly couple who was seeing the movie with us that, yeah, it is a horror movie for us. And I made a comment a while back with one of my friends about The Exorcist. That movie is not scary to me. You've seen The Exorcist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie is not scary to me because I know it's fake. I know there's no devil. I know there's no, possession. Mm-hmm. It's not real to me. This is real.
Yeah.
You know, I know Catholics and evangelicals think The Exorcist is their scariest movie because they all believe that.
Oh, you know, right.
Not real.
Yeah, I guess I've never thought about it from that perspective. Yeah, you're right.
But this movie, Jesus Camp, this is scary because these people are real people and they are out there and they make up 25% of the American people. And they do sway elections. And it is a scary thought that they were fighting to keep intelligent design out of schools.
Well, let's play this last clip.
Some extreme liberals, they have to look at this and start shaking in their boots. The intensity that you see of these kids, there's no doubt they've got to be watching this and go, oh my goodness, I didn't know this was possible. But what are these kids going to be like when they grow up?
Stop the clip again. She's right.
I didn't know it was possible for them to be that fucked up at that age.
Yeah, no. I mean, no. The line that still sticks with me, you know, even now after watching it, was when the two lines, when Levi said that he wanted something else more in his life at 5 years old because he just didn't feel like he had anything. And then also when he said that he really feels this is the key generation to Jesus coming back, because of course every single generation for the last 2,000 years has felt the exact same thing, Levi.
Right. I did an episode of Dangerous Talk years ago when we were on the college AM station where I talked about cults and I talked about the end of the world. That's what it was. And since the year, I don't know, maybe 1,000 BC or more, people were saying the end of the world is coming in my lifetime. And the reason they were giving for it, moral decay of society.
Oh, jeez.
And
so
I have,
for 3,000 years.
So many times. I think like 1,000 BC they had that.
I'm sure you can go back further. You could probably go back further. You could probably go back to ancient Egypt.
Oh, I'm sure.
You probably go back as soon as a man showed up on Earth. The first Homo sapien.
Right.
You know, I mean, seriously.
I have about 20 documented cases of people predicting the end of the world in their lifetime at different points in history. And I'm not just saying people just said it. I mean, people said it and had followers. And that reminds me of another story. In 94, there was a reverend who owns the part owns the Family Network of radio stations and TV, Harold Camping, and he's an evangelical Christian. In 1994, he said the world was going to end in September of that year. He wrote a book about it. I think he wrote two, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen.
Right.
Now he has a new book, by the way. I think he, I forget what year he gives this year, this time, but I just saw it about a two or three weeks ago. It's new on the bookshelf. Harold Camping has a new book predicting the end of the world.
Right. I ought to get that. He might have some good stuff in there.
Oh, I'm sure he does. He used to have a radio show. He probably still does on the Family Radio Network, which used to own the Family Channel before they got bought out by Fox and bought out by whoever owns them now.
I'll finish the clip here.
Animal rights people, eat your heart out, you know. You want to see intense. You want to see kids passionate about Christ. This is it. You know, and I have to believe with all my heart that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I believe those kids made an impact in heaven. God hears the cries of children. Makes me want to cry.
Well, the character of God hears everything, doesn't he? In fact, not only does he hear everything, but he knew about everything that would happen before it happened.
Right.
Of course, if there's a just and loving God and a good God, people like Becky will burn in whatever hell or, you know, some sort of eternal torture that he's come up with. Because, seriously, she's sick.
Becky believes this stuff, and she means well. She actually means well. She's just confused. Now, on the other hand, that other guy they had on there, the head of the megachurch, Ted Haggard, whatever his name is. He, by the way, he's the only guy from this movie who does not agree with this movie and actually does not like the movie.
Right.
But I don't think he actually believes this. I think he is the type of guy who is just saying this stuff to gain power. And the one really crucial scene for me in this movie was when they brought up the kid Levi up to Ted Haggard because, you know, Ted's the head of the megachurch and very important guy, talks to Bush every week, you know, very important guy. And they bring up this kid to introduce him, and he said, Levi says how great, you know, he is at giving sermons and people pay attention to him more when he gives these sermons. And Reverend Ted said, I think they just pay attention to you because you're a kid. But in 30 years, you'll know if it's because you're a kid or because you have something to say. And then he went on to say, why don't you use your kidness now, your cute kidness, to get people's attention for now, and then in 30 years, you'll have a good message for them.
Well, yeah, Pastor Ted seemed like a dick. I mean, he looked at the camera, and he said something else like, are you listening to me? Like, you better repent. Send me your money. He said something about sending me $1,000. And then he said, if you use any of this material, I'll sue you. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know him from the movie The Root of All Evil with Richard Dawkins, where he was a complete idiot to Richard and then acted arrogantly and obnoxious and ignorant and proceeded to project his own you know, character flaws onto Richard by saying to Richard, don't be arrogant, obnoxious, and ignorant when you're talking to me. So, yeah, I mean, Pastor Ted's just a prick, you know. I mean, yeah, I look forward to in the War on Christmas, you know, we have guys that are going to be hitting his church nonstop. We've got just a fleet of guys that are going to be putting God Who Wasn't There DVDs in his church. So, because he deserves it. You know, he's a douche.
Yeah, I mean,
we're talking about the New Life Church, by the way, in Denver. I believe if it's not in Denver, it's right near Denver, Colorado. So
yeah, that was actually, I think that was in that show, the Super Size Me show. It wasn't but what's that guy's show?
Morgan Spurlock show.
Morgan Spurlock had a show.
Well, he did a show on Atheist for 30 days. Is that what it was?
Yeah, 30 days. That's the show. That show with the Atheist woman. They had stuff that went on in that church, I think.
No. That was in Texas.
Oh, that was in Texas.
Yeah. Okay. I actually have a clip from that on the website as well, guys. You can go to rationalresponders.com and click videos, and there's a lot of videos there.
Damn, there are too many of those damn mega churches.
Yeah, that was, you're right. That was another mega church. It was a huge one.
Right. I don't think Pastor Ted believes this stuff. I really don't.
It reminds me a segment we have on our show called Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying, where we decide whether or not these people are simply crazy, ignorant, or lying. I mean, there are people. There are definitely – I mean, there's been documented cases of pastors in Catholic churches that were atheist.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
You know, so you know, they just did it for a good living.
Now, I'll say in Becky Fisher's defense, I think she really believes in stuff, and I think she really means well. She's just confused.
I don't know if confused is the right word, dude. That's awfully nice of you. I mean, she's delusional. She's sick in the head. She's a mental disease.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
she has the inability to think critically. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad because you see.
I always wonder with these people, how did they become Christian? And whenever I talk to a Christian on a one-on-one basis, I always ask them that. Like, how did you become born again? Because you get to the real personal side, and it's almost always one of the following. Either somebody died in their family, they almost died perhaps, people look at them and only see their image, whether they're beautiful or deformed or they're ugly or whatever, but God sees them for who they really are, you know, whatever the case may be, or they partied too much and they found it after a while of excess partying, their life was still meaningless and they were searching for something, and then
right. There
you go.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fall into one of those categories, it's rare.
You left out the biggest one, which is that they're just indoctrinated into that belief when they're a child. So
yeah, brainwashed from birth, yeah.
But with that, you know, I think we've pretty much covered the movie. Are we going to suggest people go out and watch this film?
Yes, absolutely. This is a fantastic movie. The people who filmed it did a very good job. Oh, the other thing was Becky's assistant in the movie, I thought was clearly gay, but closeted.
That's funny.
I think that's it from my notes there.
And of course, you know, if you go see the movie, it seemed like the atmosphere in the theater was one in which people want to talk about God belief right afterwards. So, it's actually the type of environment where if you want to print out some flyers about something or whatnot, and you want to like hand them out outside the door when you're done, I think it's the type of place where people would be receptive to it. And people were having conversations about God belief right outside the doors as soon as it ended, which is rare.
And also, I ask everybody to go out and support some of these independent movies, whether it's Jesus Camp or this film has not yet been rated, or U.S. versus John Lennon, or any of those new movies coming out, because these people really put a lot on the line to make these documentaries or these movies, and they can't get them in the mainstream theaters and can only go to these art houses and independent theaters, and these theaters are struggling, and you know, we got to support, you know, our own in a sense and give money to these endeavors so that more of them will be made.
Yeah, but clearly, much more importantly, people need to support the Rational Response Squad and the Dangerous Talk Crew.
DangerousTalk.net.
So, yes exactly. It's DangerousTalk.net is my co-host today on the Dangerous Rational Response Squad talk show. We might have this again in the future.
I would love to.
But
also, we have editorial columns on the website. We have the Dangerous Song Competition now. We have about 5 songs on there, including Get Your Jesus Off My Penis, which I know you've had on your show.
Yeah.
And we've had so many fantastic songs. Well, five right now, and I think we're getting more almost every day. So, well, maybe not every day, but every week or so. So, you know, keep looking at that. The editorial columns from our writers are good. We even have a religious guy on there doing a column. My friend Tom Meredith does a column called The Religious Middle, where he's kind of more to the left now. He's in seminary. He's a well-educated Christian. He's not one of those, you know, straw man Christian. He's actually a good guy. And, you know, I disagree with him, obviously, but he at least has something to contribute that I think is kind of interesting.
And you
perspective.
And you can listen to Stack Show right after my show with my buddies, the Rational Responders, every Friday night on freethoughtmedia.com. And, of course, at my website. My website's rationalresponders.com. And, in fact, our forums, we actually have a forum for Stack. So if you want to dialogue with Stack or give them some show advice or tear them a new one for some reason.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to email me, you know, dangeroustalk@gmail.com or join my MySpace page. It's MySpace/dangeroustalk. You know, just add me as a friend. I add almost everybody except for the people that are clearly, you know, promoting porn sites. Not that I love porn sites, don't get me wrong, but then I get all kinds of spam from them, so.
Uh-huh. I add porn sites too, by the way, so if you're a porn star or whatever, yeah, feel free to add us.
If there's actual people, like, you know, if it's a porn star.
If you send me a friend request, as long as it looks like you're not going to sabotage our profile, you're getting accepted. So it's myspace.com/rationalresponse. And at our website right now, the rationalresponders.com, we have a great video library and essay library. And, we're trying to enhance the essay library with a very large competition underway right now. And it's not as much a competition as it is a submission drive just to get more pieces and get views from the community. So if you would like to participate, come to our website on the left-hand side in the menu. It says essay contest, and that'll get you to the forum post on the board that explains all the different categories. So we really could use your help. It's really easy to write these pieces. They're fun pieces. They're just expressions of who you are, and they'll be posted so that, you know, the Christians that come to visit the site can get a better idea of what atheists represent. And of course, atheists can read about you and get a better idea of who you are and what you represent. So, please get involved and check us out every Friday night.
Dangerous America.
And until the next episode of Dangerous Rational Radio, stay rational, people.